is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
At some point in the genuine Christian walk, we have to deal with His Lordship. He's not our co-pilot. He is the pilot. He decides what's right and wrong. And listen, guys, if Jesus is Lord on Sunday, right? Because He is. We come in, we get out, we deny ourselves. We get to church. Oh man, who's going to come? Who's going to wake up this early? But I'm giving myself to the Lord. And I'm here. I haven't dressed a little better than I would have if I weren't going to church. So we're here. But if Jesus is not Lord Monday through Saturday, let me ask you something. Is He Lord at all?
At some point in life, each of us comes to a point where we realize that we don't have all the answers. You're just muddling through, doing the best that you can. Well, today on Building on the Solid Rock, Pastor Troy explains that there comes a time when you have to face the reality that the Lord needs to be the one in control of your life. You'll learn that Jesus should be sitting in the driver's seat, not relegated to the role of co-pilot. He's the one with the answers, and He'll never steer you wrong. Now, here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock in John chapter 1.
What the pastor said or did after that, I have no idea. It was like the Lord Himself started speaking to me. He said, "Look, I know this seems heavy to you, and I know that you appreciate me. And I know that you do believe in me and that you love me and all of that because you pray to me. You cry to me when you're hurting and those times when your dad was so harsh on you and all of this. I know that. But right now, will you follow me?" And he asked me if I would follow him. And I'll tell you, I did not. I wanted to, but my sin, everything that I thought I'd have to let go of was way too much. But that week, when I left that day, I was broken. I was discouraged because it was the first time I realized, man, I've defended the Lord. I've cried out to the Lord. I've been thankful for the Lord. I believe in Him. But this was the first time I chose my sin over Him. And so in my heart, I thought, I can't wait to go next week. Next week, when that altar call happens, I'm going forward. And so I got to church, but a friend came with me. That's how Satan works. No, just kidding. No, we want friends. We want to invite people. But a friend came with me. In this case, it was peer pressure. It was the peer pressure, not the friend. And so I'm going to run with the Lord today. And so the altar call was given, and I couldn't do it. My friend was there. I can't do it with him here. I want to, Lord, but he's here. And so it was cool because God is so good. God is so good. He does all the helping. He does all the work. There was a musician there, a special guest musician. To this day, I kind of look back, and I don't even like that kind of music, but that day it was the Lord. And so they sang extra songs. There was an extra long altar call, like the Lord was calling and waiting on me, like, "I'm patient. I'm patient. Come on. What do you say?" Like, "Oh, I want to, but this guy's here." And so at the very end, finally, I was like, "I'm going to do it." It's like I came forward. It's like the Lord, who knows all things anyway, was like, "Good. Now I know." He knew already, but now you know. Sort of like Abraham when he offered up Isaac, you know, you've got to have a part here. Now, maybe that doesn't happen for everyone, and they may see through a certain lens. "I don't know what happens this way. It's how it operates." But for me, that's not how it operated. God did challenge me. And when I came forward, You find out one thing. First, God's in control. God does everything. But at the same time, He challenged me. And when I came forward, everything began to change in my life. It was at that moment. I can remember that moment. I took so long to come forward, they were actually packing up the artists. It was already over, so it wasn't even altar call song. We were still sitting there when everybody was leaving. This is a humongous church. They're all leaving, and I'm still sitting there with my friend. He's ready to go. I'm like, wait, let's wait. Let's wait till the crowds leave. Because I know in my mind, I'm like, I know, Lord, I'm coming up. And it was so good to know that God is faithful and patient. It didn't happen for me like it happened for you maybe, but it doesn't mean yours is right and mine's wrong. So we've got to be very careful. We're not fighting each other about how God does things. It's a big world. Lots of perspectives. Lots of experiences that God gives. And God knows every person. And you're tailor-made for something. And He knows how to minister to you where you are. He knows what you need. And that's the great thing about God. But a disciple is one who, when He speaks, will willingly submit themselves to Him. In fact, the real test of a disciple is submission, I would say. It's Jesus who said, Luke 6:46, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Why do you call me Lord and you don't obey me?" At some point in the genuine Christian walk, we all have to deal with the concept of the lordship of Jesus Christ. It means He's the boss, not us. It means no matter what I've grown up understanding or thinking, what He says is right. This is a little bumper sticker. It says, it's nice, and I understand the sentiment, so I don't want to make light of the sentiment, but it says, God is my co-pilot. But really what that means is, I'm steering, God's in the passenger seat. God's not anybody's co-pilot. God is the pilot. God is the driver. He has the keys. He's the one who starts the car, stops the car, drives it, and you might be the co-pilot who has no job, really. You got the dummy steering wheel. When I was in refrigeration, we would install dummy stats. And some of you guys might know this, but might not know this. But there are key areas that you have to keep a temperature. But you have human beings in those offices too. So you're keeping computers a certain temperature or hospitals a certain temperature. But people in offices or whatever, they like to feel warmer. You know, who cares about the equipment? What about me? And so we would sometimes install dummy stats. They have a pneumatic valve. So when you turn it, it kind of sounds like it's doing something. It's not doing anything. It's a dummy stat. And so it's a little secret. So those do work. Just because you hear it, don't think it's a dummy stat. You know, turn it down to 40 or something. But we installed some. And it's funny how they would go, oh, yeah, it's better. It's better. It's all mind over matter. So God gives us a little dummy wheel. He's driving. We're like, look at me. Man, this is cool, Lord. Thanks for letting me drive this thing. So I would never let you drive. But we are a part of it. We do get to be a part of it. At some point in the genuine Christian walk, we have to deal with His lordship. He's not our co-pilot. He is the pilot. He decides what's right and wrong. And listen, guys, if Jesus is Lord on Sunday, right? Because He is. We come in, we get out, we deny ourselves, we get to church. Oh man, I was going to come. I was going to wake up this early, but I'm giving myself to the Lord. And I'm here. I even dressed a little better than I would have if I weren't going to church. So we're here. But if Jesus is not Lord Monday through Saturday, let me ask you something. Is He Lord at all? The idea of being Lord is not just on Sundays, I'm your employer and you're my employee. Lord is all the time, every day. He's never off duty. So disciples respond to His commands. Verse 40. One of the two heard John speak and followed him. It was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. and he brought him to Jesus. Next thing we'll talk about is mission. A genuine disciple, a true disciple, a sign is that there's a sense of mission in their life, because that's what God gives us. So John the Baptist points to Jesus. They go, Jesus says, come, hang out. And before they do go hang out, Andrew says, I got to go get my brother Peter. And he runs, he gets his brother Peter and brings him. Now, this is awesome. You got to love Andrew. He's a guy who feels already like he's on a mission. He's excited, and it's driving his mission because he is excited. Andrew's always known more as Peter's brother than Peter would be known as Andrew's brother. Andrew's kind of always in the shadow of Peter. Andrew didn't write any books. Andrew, that we know of or we read about, didn't really give any sermons. And yet, he's always bringing people to Christ. I love that about Andrew. That's his heart. That should be your heart. Not position, not things, not writing books, not doing all of that stuff, but simply being so excited, being close to the Lord, so excited that you can't but share the gospel with others. See, this is a man who's excited about his own experience, so much so that he goes and shares it with those that he knows. That's a man with a sense of mission. One of the signs of a disciple is that they can't keep it to themselves. They share. And listen, it almost always starts a chain reaction. When we begin to follow Christ, it always starts a chain reaction that begins to touch and influence the lives of others around us.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second part of today's message, so be sure to stay tuned. If you'd like to listen to more teachings from Building on the Solid Rock, we invite you to visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. Pastor Troy has been teaching verse by verse through the Bible for a while. You can listen online to our archive of these messages. You can also download each teaching to listen to later or share with your friends and family. You can even subscribe to the Building on the Solid Rock podcast through iTunes. That way you'll never miss a teaching and you'll be notified as soon as we make these messages available. Find a link to subscribe when you visit buildingonthesolidrock.com. Now, here's Pastor Troy with the continuation of today's message. Building on the Solid
Rock. I remember when I was a young Christian, I didn't know a lot about Mormonism and different religions and stuff like that. I thought they were all just different denominations, you know, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Wiccan, you know, all that stuff. And so I just thought there were different denominations. And then I had a girlfriend who was Mormon. We had a very good friendship and relationship. The only difference was she was Mormon and I was a young Christian. So I started looking into Mormonism and I go, that's what they believe? And that's not like some say you can dance in church and some say you can't. This is like Jesus is not the same Jesus. And so I was at an impasse. I had some decisions to make. I tried to convert her. That was what I wanted to do. I tried to take her to church. I took her to church one time and the gospel was presented in such an elementary, perfect way. You know how God is, man. It's like, man, this is the perfect message, man. Yes, good day to get her to church. It's the only time I could ever get her to church. We happened to be driving somewhere because, you know, they kind of shy away from the Christian church. But I got her there and afterwards I asked her, so, man, what'd you think of that? And because all she had known was Mormon doctrine, she goes, that was weird. Weird? What do you mean that's weird? But that was the very beginning of a very good relationship, healthy relationship. And the only difference was she's not a Christian. And God began to say, so, what are you going to do? And I ended up having to break it off. And it was the best breakup anyone could ever have. It's like, man, we still care about each other. I mean, I don't know why we're doing this except to tell you I'm following the Lord. And the Lord says this isn't a good relationship. Yeah, I care about you, but bye. It was better than that. But I'm so glad for what God does, because I have a beautiful wife, a godly wife, great children. I'm glad that I follow the Lord. He always has the best. So one of the signs of a disciple is that they can't keep it to themselves, and it begins to change the things around them. Oh, and guys, because we have a sense of machoism here, guys think, I'm not sure in the gospel, I'm a man. Andrew's name means manliness. Manly. He was a man's man. He was an outdoorsman, a fisherman, a blue-collar worker, and he saw no shame in bringing people to Jesus. So it's not about, that's for women and pastors. Like I'm less than a man. There was a bumper sticker that read, Real Men Love Jesus. And I understand that sentiment too. It's kind of, it kind of gives you that idea of being gushy and not a man anymore. I love Jesus. I'm a man. No, that's not a real man, girl. I would say real men are not ashamed to tell others about Jesus. How about this? Real men have a sense of mission. We have an operation that we've been called to. How's that? You've been called to God's army. You're called to go survey the world, share the gospel, and risk death in the process. So, the fourth sign of a disciple is a sense of mission. And fifth, verse 42, continuing on. Now, when Jesus looked at him, he said, You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. The final thing, a sign of a disciple, is transformation. Transformation begins to happen. The Greek here is very descriptive, and this phrasing is more than, hey, your name was this, and now your name is this. The phrasing is like Jesus is looking through Peter to who he's going to become and saying, yeah, you're Peter, but you know what? You're going to be called Rocky. He could see Peter and what he was going to become. So this Cephas, which is translated a stone, it's not a put down. And I know the phrasing, that it's literally not a big massive rock, like you're going to be the rock of Gibraltar or something. It's a rock, but it's solid, not like clay, not like something of no substance. It's solid. It's a rock. You're going to be a rock. So it's actually a comment, not a put down. And Peter, he would certainly become a rock over time. Actually, he's a rock. But in the beginning, he was kind of like that rock that's flying wildly in the air, breaking windows and everything delicate. That was Peter in the beginning. He had a lot to learn, did he not? Even though his name was changed, he still had a lot to learn, and he made a lot of mistakes. Jesus said, I'm going to be handed over and killed. And Peter jumped in there and said, this will never happen to you. Thinking, no, man, I'm a rock, man. I'm the man. I'm going to help you out. He said, you don't have in mind the things of God, but the things of the world. You're looking from the wrong perspective. He even called him, get behind me, Satan. You've been influenced by him. Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, a very holy moment. And Peter, as he's grown so much in his theological understanding now, could say something so deep as, it's good for me to be here. So that's all you got, Peter? No, I got more than that. You want us to build you some tabernacles, three tabernacles for each of you? Like, no, Peter, you don't get it. And so he was in awe of a moment and had no clue what the moment was really all about. In the garden, Jesus wanted Peter and a few others to stay up and pray. It was a very important moment. But Peter and the rest fell asleep. So there's hope for you if you've fallen asleep in church. Now, you're not ready to be a leader yet, but you're not going to hell. That's good news, unless you don't wake up and start dismissing the Word of God altogether. Peter fell asleep when he should have been praying. Peter denied Jesus three times. You ever denied him? I told you about once I denied him. I loved him and denied him. I loved him, cared about him, thought he was the most important. I believed everything theologically about him, but I denied him. And that's what broke me. I think that's what broke Peter 3 times. And Peter was a broken man. Even after the ascension, when the Gentiles were being added to the church, Peter's given a vision, rise, kill and eat. But Peter gets all spiritual on them. I've never done any of that, Lord. I'm above that. I see things the right way. And the Lord's words to him basically were, well, they were, hey, don't call anything unclean that I've called clean. But here's what he's saying. I'm the Lord. If I say do it, do it. Don't worry about what you understand or don't understand. Peter would separate himself, at least on one occasion, from the Gentiles because he worried about what the other Jews would think. This is Peter, growing. He's the rock. It's in Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13 that we read Paul's words. And he said, now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. Even the man who was known as an encourager. And he was known as a guy who would reach out to people. He was the one who went to get Paul because a Gentile group was growing up amongst the Jewish group. And even Barnabas got caught up, began to fear men more than fearing God. It happens. But Peter grew through all of that also. There was transition taking place in his life so that he would go on to share powerfully the message. In fact, even before he had failed other times, he shared a great message at Pentecost, and people came to faith. The Gospel of Mark used Peter as a source. So that's transformation. That work should be going on. Disciples don't stay in a rut. They grow. Is that taking place in your life? So, I want to leave you with the question that we started with earlier on, and that is, why are you here? Are you a disciple? Is that why you're here? You want to serve the Lord, you want to follow after Him, you want to know Him, and so you're here? Is it because you want people to rally around you? Is it because you're single, you're looking for that other single person? Why are you here? Is He calling out to you? Is another question I might ask. Is the Lord calling to you? Not me. See, if you get in your mind, well, He said this, the pastor said this, and this is what I think, then that's me versus you. No sense responding to that. I don't want to win those battles. But if you find that I begin to fade as you consider things and you hear the voice of the Lord speaking to your heart, which is what I had heard so many years ago, then why would you not respond? It's the Lord. Why would you not? Why would you not heed? Why would you not listen? Is it because you don't know Him? You don't know who He is? You don't love Him? You don't appreciate? You can't love Him on your own. You have to know who He is, what He's done. Those things are revealed to you through His Word, but He's the one who reveals it. And when He comes, you have everything that you need to respond.
Thanks for joining us today on Building on the Solid Rock. We hope you've learned some new things today as Pastor Troy taught through the Gospel of John. If you'd like to hear today's message again, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We also have an archive of previous messages available to you free of charge, ready to be listened to online or even downloaded and shared with friends and family. We're so blessed to be a part of your life in this way, and we'd love to hear how you've been impacted by Building on the Solid Rock. Feel free to send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love being able to connect with our listeners in this way, and your feedback helps us continue to build this ministry. Next time, Pastor Troy will share more from the Gospel of John and
express additional examples of how Jesus proved he was unlike any other man that has ever lived. Join us then, right here, on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in